You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Recently, a young bird monitored by the Northern California Condor Restoration Program flew nearly 400 miles in a few days into southern Oregon near Medford. The historic trip marks the first for a California condor in more than a century. To help us learn more is my guest, Tiana Williams-Clausen. She's director of the Yurok Tribe's Wildlife Department. Welcome to the Exchange, Tiana.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Well, we're hearing incredible news about the historic journey of a young bird known as B9. What can you tell us?
Well, B9 is an incredible bird. She is one of our youngest, actually, at about 2 years old, and came to us from the World Center for Birds of Prey, managed by the Peregrine Fund in Boise, Idaho, as a young bird. But that said, she followed her instincts as a young, curious sort of creature and took off one day, flew all the way almost to Redding in the east, and then up to just south of Medford in Oregon, which is when she passed over the border there, then down to the southwest through Cave Junction, back into California, then bopped up to Brookings, and then came home. For no apparent reason, entirely on her own, she just did it, and we're very proud of her.
That's amazing. How do you monitor that?
Well, because our condors are a highly endangered species, we do monitor them heavily. So all of the birds actually have radio transmitters, but also satellite transmitters. And so it's the satellite transmitter that really cued us in. It pings regularly to give us updates on where she's moving across the landscape. And so we do regular checks of their satellite transmitters, and sure enough, that showed us exactly where she'd been.
So tell me about the Northern California Restoration Program.
So Northern California is very much similarly to Oregon, a place that lost condors well over a century ago. The last kind of recorded condor was kind of in the 1890s or perhaps the early 1900s. And this is something that's been very impactful to Native American peoples in this region, including the Yurok tribe. And so in 2003, a panel of our elders, largely due to condor's cultural importance, which relates to what we consider to be our foundational reason for being as world renewal people, decided that it was time for condors to come home. They are very incredible and integral part of our ceremonies. We believe that they carry our prayers as we're asking for the world to be in balance. We believe they contributed a song to our ceremonies that we sing to this day. And there's just been this really large cultural and ecological wound with their absence. And so in 2003, the elders made this decision that we should bring condor home. And our department got started in 2008 with the goal of doing just that. And so we went through many years of habitat analyses, learning even more about the birds than we already knew. We were privileged to bring on Chris West, who's our condor program manager, and had worked with the condors for a decade or more earlier at other sites. And eventually, with a lot of community will and partnership building, particularly with Redwood National Park, who is our co-partner in this endeavor, we brought condors home in 2022. We released our first four birds in that spring, and then four more in that fall, and now we have 23 birds free flying. B9 was within that last cohort, and as I mentioned, she's actually one of our youngest birds, so very intrepid.
So tell me more about this ancestral relationship with condors, and why condors?
Well, there's a deep cultural relationship in that condors we consider to have been, I guess you might say, an elder spirit or a more knowledgeable spirit who had something to teach us about how to be good people and how to move forward in a good way. So one of the most incredible things about condors, about vultures in general, is that they are obligate scavengers. They only eat things that have already died. They're not like a regular hawk or an eagle that might actually kill for their food. And in Yurok belief, there's something special about that. There's something special about being able to move through the world without causing damage to the world. And so for that and other reasons, as I mentioned, they tie very close to us culturally. That said, I've been engaged in this project, which is for over 18 years now at this point, I'm particularly impressed by the elders who made this original decision, who not only held on to a relationship with a species that had been gone for over 100 years by the time they made this decision, but also had carried the culture that it was related to through the absolute worst of times post-American colonization. It was very illegal and dangerous for a long time to practice these ceremonies. And so this all kind of came together right when I was getting out of college. Actually had no idea what I was getting myself into, but it's been an amazing trip so far. But they not only were these incredible culture bearers, people who knew our history and our relationships with this land, but they understood that Condor would provide to us what I've been calling the Condor's eye view, as I've grown more into this as a Yurok tribal member and a Yurok biologist. And so the reality of the situation is condors actually fly higher than any other bird out there in this region, about 15,000 feet. And so when I've come to understand the Yurok tribe's goal for ecological and cultural restoration, I've come to think about it in terms of that condor's eye view that sees everything around us, sees how everything is connected, and talks to the incredible scale of restoration that the Yurok tribe wants to move forward. So there's kind of that historical and long-lived relationship that we've had with condors forever. But just from my perspective as a Yurok tribal member, I think as well, they're really great. They continue to be a really great teacher for what it is we have to do moving forward.
Well, as you mentioned, condors fly extremely high. Do they usually stay near familiar territory, or do they fly vast distances as this young bird did?
They are incredible travelers. They don't migrate like, say, our local turkey vulture does. They do stay relatively close to their home in that respect. You're not going to see one just decide to take off to Mexico or something and go live down there. That said, they can fly 100 to 200 miles in a day. Usually if they've got an established territory, which usually comes with nesting, this bird is too young for that. They don't start nesting till about 6 to 8 years old. Once they have an established territory, they know where everything is. They know where all the resources are. It's pretty typical for them to fly as much as 100 miles in a day, really taking advantage in this area particularly of the high winds that go with our mountains and our riverways and our coastlines to just take off. They're this very large soaring bird. It takes very, very energy efficient as they use these winds. That said, they are a very intelligent bird. And as scavenger, they are a very curious bird because they know that when there's something going on, whether, you know, naturally it might be a wildfire or a flood or something like that, someplace where honestly you're going to find the dead things, they know to go check it out. And so it is inherent to, I would say, their nature to be curious. And I got to imagine that's part of what drove B9 to do her exploratory flight. It's pretty typical for those young birds to really be scoping out their landscape, so to speak, before they find and pick that place that they really want to settle down. And I think that was part of this.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Why would a younger bird like B9 push those geographic boundaries that far rather than a more established adult condor?
Because she's a rock star, is all I can say. Those established condors, they kind of get their established place. But she flew about 100 miles per day in her travels. And the way that we watched it, you could just see her following those ridgelines, following those riverways. So to me, it says that she's got a very instinctual understanding of how the land and the winds work. Not all of our birds do that. It took, like our first four birds, for example, I love them to pieces. They're one of our, they've got to figure out the landscape on their own. They only made it about 35 miles in their first year here. That said, every subsequent cohort of birds that we've brought out has been able to build on that original knowledge that those first four birds brought to expand the range farther and farther. So at this point, B9 is not only curious and apparently a very good flyer, but she's inherited this kind of wild capacity to navigate the landscape very effectively from these older birds that she's been learning the where's and how for's of how to get around this landscape. They've taken a few years to establish. Now she's taking advantage of it. And she just took off, and we're proud of her.
My guest is Tiana Williams-Clausen, Director of the Wildlife Department for the Yurok Tribe. So what should Oregonians be looking for to know that they've spotted a California condor?
Well, it may be a while yet. It was a brief flyover. The neat thing about condors are they are very social. So I imagine someday she's going to say, hey, that was a neat trip. Let me go. And some of her friends are going to be, you know what? She's going off someplace new. Let's go check it out too. That said, they are the largest bird in North America with a 9.5-foot wingspan, but can still be pretty hard to tell when you're looking at a distance. So some things to look for, one, are if they have a wing tag on. So all of our birds are tagged with an alphanumeric tag. So, you know, A0 or in this case, B9. And so that's a good indicator, first off, that you're looking at a condor. Two, they get most commonly, I would say, mixed up with turkey vultures, who are also a very impressive bird. But if you can see the wing pattern from underneath, you can see that turkey vultures have this really beautiful white pattern on the trailing edge of their wings. But a condor actually has the white on the forefront of their wings, more like a V shape. Turkey vultures also are incredible birds in that they can take advantage of much smaller wings than the very large and heavy condor can. So you see them, they've got almost a V-shaped flight, and they've almost got a tippy sort of flight as they take advantage of this little wind or that little wind, whereas condors are more like a jet. They are just flying straight through the air without that wobbliness you see, because they're only taking advantage of those bigger winds. That said, if someone's lucky enough to see a condor next to a turkey vulture, and they do flock together as well, both being scavengers, they're drawn to the same resources, you'll be able to tell the difference because the size differential is pretty amazing.
Well, 9 feet of a wingspan, I'm thinking of an NBA player.
That would be, yeah, I think there was a NBA player who was like 7'7" or something, and he had a quote-unquote 8-foot wingspan. So they've got even them beat.
Oh, my word. So this condor was on a round trip, not a one-way. Do we know what motivated B9 to go this far and come back?
Well, they're very good navigators in general. To go that far is not that big of a deal. I mean, they will regularly take off to their more established haunts, and they've been all the way down to Highway 36, the Eel River, out to Hayfork, if someone's from the California region and listening already. So more heading in the southward direction from Oregon. So the distance actually isn't that important. Well, I'm not going to say it's not impressive. It's still very impressive. It's the fact that it's new, I think, that's impressive. She definitely went out on a limb to go in this circular pattern. Once she hit the coast, which they're well familiar with, she would have known exactly how to get back to the more southern climes. So she would have just headed south on the coast until she hit some place that she recognized. And then she's like, okay, I'm back in home territory. Here we go.
So they don't, as they're flying, they don't scope out other places and think, hey, that's a better place for me to, you know, settle down. They kind of come back to where they started, and they just are, you know, they are comfortable staying right where they are.
Until they're ready to establish a territory, they will pick a nest area, and they'll just, if it works, like if it turns out they can get chicks out of it regularly and that it works, they'll usually stick there. But they're very social birds. You will almost never see a condor flying on its own, which again is just a matter of B9 being intrepid, but also she would have been drawn back to the rest of her flock mates. That's actually one of the tools that we use when we're first releasing birds, because all of these birds have come from the breeding facilities. They've actually never flown free before they come to us. So we will actually leave an older or mentor bird, some bird that they look up to. Again, they have a very strong hierarchy, so that when these young birds first take off and are a little bit wobbly in the air, they're automatically kind of drawn back to that bird that they see as their, I don't know, as their leader of sorts. So she would have been drawn back by her friends and neighbors regardless. I'm just glad that she showed the acuity to be able to find her way back easily.
Well, we have about 30 seconds left. For listeners who are inspired by B9's journey and want to support the Yurok Tribe condor restoration or work, how can they help?
You know, I'd love it if people checked out the Yurok Tribe Wildlife Department's webpage. So that's just yuroktribe.org/wildlife. And there's actually a link specifically there for how people help, whether it's getting a hold of us for volunteer work or if you've got a donation. We are 100% grant funded, so that's always an appreciated support. But also just learning about the bird. I think vultures get a bad rap, but I think they're really incredible, and I want more people to know about them.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you, Tiana.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
My guest was Tiana Williams-Clausen, Director of the Wildlife Department for the Yurok Tribe in California.